All right, let's stand together briefly and turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. So we end the year, this last message, I want to help us to be ready to live successfully in 2018. Daniel chapter 1. We'll read three verses there. We'll let you be seated. We'll pray and let you be seated. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. Says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at verse 15. We'll go through the story in a minute. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And then look at verse number 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we pray that you'd bless our few minutes that we have left here as we just state some things and a few reminders that will help us to live successfully and honor and glorify you next year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll tell you what the title is, and then don't freak out because it won't be long. I'm going to talk to you about 10 steps to living successfully in 2018. Now, don't do the math. Okay, 10 steps. If he does like 5 minutes of steps, 10-minute introduction. We're going to be here a long time. No, we won't. But I want us to learn some things. We live in a time that is very, very anti-Christian, and not just anti-Christian, to be real honest with you. It's anti anything that's normal, decent, and right. Okay? Just how it is. We can whine and complain about that. And I sometimes bring things to your attention. I just want us to know what's going on out there. That's not to whine or complain. It's just how the world is. The world is a dark place. And by the way, to be honest with you, for throughout history, the world has been, for those who believe in right, a dark place. And it's been, for the majority, anti-God. And really, in our world, for it's always been that way. It's just that for a while, we've lived in America that was founded on Christian principles, okay? And we had a little bit going for us, but that has all changed. Now, the point is, we can use that as an excuse to struggle in our Christian life. But to be honest with you, there's no need to. We don't have to. The book of Daniel tells the story of Daniel and, in places, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that they lived during those times. And by the way, their times were a lot darker than our times. They were in a foreign land that was not friendly to them. Their pagan gods were not friendly to them. They lived under a dictator, several of them, and not really nice guys. History would tell us, particularly with Nebuchadnezzar, they were very cruel individuals. But yet, Daniel and his friends lived successfully. They honored God. They did the right thing. And God was able to work in their lives. So I just take it that if they can, why can't we? Why can't we be the right kind of people in this age? Why can't we be godly people in this age? Why can't we be salt and light in this age and be different without being weird? Okay? Now, the world in some cases will look at us and some of the things that we do or believe, and that will be foreign or weird to them. When I walked into church and I heard some of the things the Bible were teaching, and I'm like, whoa, what is that? That's shock. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But I found out it was right and not a big deal. So I just want to go through some things that happened in the book of Daniel. And again, we will not be long. Much of this is just reminders for us as we head into the new year that it's okay to be a Christian. It's okay to live right. It's okay to not let what's going on out there affect us, or because it doesn't affect us, also allow us to make a difference out there. Let me give them to you. There's 10 steps. Step number one, let's live in preparation. This is Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat. You see, as Nebuchadnezzar took over Judah, they brought some of the young men captives into Babylon. Daniel and his buddies knew it was a pagan land. They knew that they were going to face some things. They were going to face some things that were going to challenge their beliefs, challenge their obedience to God. But what I like about Daniel didn't wait until a situation arose and then he had to make a decision as to what he would do. Daniel did that ahead of time. See, Daniel, long before they came to Daniel and they wanted him to be on a special diet and they wanted the guys that were with him to be on a special diet, a diet that violated God's laws, long before that ever happened, Daniel had already decided in his heart that I'm not going there. He didn't wait. See, what so happens so often to many Christians, we wait till a situation arises, and then we want to make a decision whether we'll do right or wrong. And by the way, if we wait till a situation arises and decide whether or not we will do right or wrong, then there's the external pressures that are pushing us, our emotions, people, situations. But it's so much easier when you've already decided, I don't do that. I am not going to be a part of that. If you work somewhere and your boss will ever come to you and say, hey, I want you to lie about this. You should have already decided a long time ago, I don't lie. I remember I worked for my dad before I was a Christian, and I went back to work for him after I was a Christian. And he asked, the phone rang one time. He goes, answer that. If it's so-and-so, tell him I'm not here. And I said, I didn't say it disrespectfully. I said, I can't do that. That's lying. I'm not going to lie. He goes, what? That wasn't me before. He goes, come on. I'm like, Dad, I can't do that. He goes, fine, just let the phone ring. I'm like, I could do that. That's easy. But I'll tell you what, he had a little more respect for me. But that was something I already decided. I'm not going to do that. So let's live with preparation. Let's decide in our life that we are going to live for Christ. Prepared. We hear things in teaching, the preaching, and we make decisions. That decision's made. And so when it comes up, if Daniel would not have passed this test, he would not have been able to pass the test that were coming because they were a lot harder. Let's live in preparation. Number two, step two, let's live with excellence. With excellence. Verse 20 we read earlier. What had happened, so Daniel tells the guy, I forget his name, Ash, we can't eat your food. Why don't you let us eat our diet and then check us out and see if we're healthy? See, all that they wanted is them to be healthy, and they wanted them to be fit for the king's use. So Daniel said, well, let's just try this contest, and we'll eat the food, and we'll do it our way, and then you can check us out. He said, fine. At the end, they were fine. And then they bring him before the king. And look at this statement. I love this statement in verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in their realm. What a testimony that these young men who did not follow the pagan ways, who did not follow what everybody else was doing, but simply follow God, but yet in everything they did, they were 10 times better than everybody else. They lived their lives in such a way, even though they were Christians, they were 10 times better. I think Christians, now not for a pride thing, but I think in all matters of wisdom and in character and in work ethic, we ought to be better. Amen. Okay? By the way, it's not hard. The people, I know they don't like to be called the snowflakes, right? These little powder puffs that we're raising nowadays. By the way, I heard a report. Some of these college kids got together and said they did a study and they said, well, calling us snowflakes hurts our feelings and hurts us emotionally. They just proved the point. Touche. Okay. But listen, it's not hard to go out there and just be right and do right, work hard, have a good spirit, just and for people to notice that. By the way, I think it is just better to live God's way anyhow. Man, you just live God's way, you miss a lot of things right off of the top that you would be getting into. 10 times better. By the way, he didn't get 10 times better by compromising and giving in to things. They were 10 times better because he had purpose in his heart and they made an agreement that they didn't have to violate God's laws. 10 times better. One of the reasons we struggle with that is because we have the wrong people that we follow, the wrong people that we want to imitate in our lives. Don't get caught up on all the glitz. Let's be 10 times better. Next, step number 3. Let's live in compassion. Compassion. Now, verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart, he wouldn't defile, blah, 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 blah. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now think of that for a minute. This is a guy that was going to ask them to violate the God's laws that they had purposed they're going to live by. Okay, this is someone Daniel was going to have to stand up to. But yet Daniel cared about the man. Daniel had a good relationship with him, as he did also with Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, some of the other leaders. You see, the fact that Daniel had some beliefs, the fact that Daniel believed some things strongly, had views that were diametrically opposed to what the people in Babylon had, his leaders had, he still loved them and cared about them. Compassion. Yep. By the way, I think we miss that a lot. We're so staunch and we believe so much and we stand on the Bible that we don't know how to be kind and nice and decent to people. And by the way, this thing that's spreading on the internet, this stupidity, this Christianity with hate is garbage. There's not an ounce of Bible in that. You watch those idiots on the internet and everything's hate and I hope you die. And if someone disagrees with them, all of a sudden they're not saved. Quit listening to that nonsense if you listen to that nonsense. That's garbage and there's not an ounce of God in that. Okay, that's ridiculous. And that's why the world hates us. I can disagree with somebody and still love them. I disagree with their, listen, I say it over and over and over. I said it this morning. Don't be shocked when people that don't know Christ live like people that don't know Christ. Okay? Our goal is not to correct them. Our goal is to reach them. And they'll never be corrected in their life until they meet the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God dwells inside of them, and now they can be transformed. Now, that doesn't mean we don't, you'll see the next point, so they don't go together. That goes together. It doesn't mean we back off of what we believe, but we can do it lovingly. We can love people, okay? Disagree. Listen, people that are, well, these people aren't sin and they have all that stuff. And I know we need to stand for what's right. Don't get me wrong. But listen, you know what they need? Their number one thing they need is they need to be redeemed. Okay? I believe, as many, that Nebuchadnezzar, who was a wicked dictator, eventually found the Lord because of the testimony of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, they could have dumped on him all they want, and they disagreed with his philosophies. We'll see that in a minute. But there was something in them that led them to meet Christ. Let's be compassionate. People want to know what we believe. I understand that. But they also want to know that we care. The book of Jude, we like the beginning, you know. Earnestly contend for the faith, and we should. And then it says at the end, and if some have compassion, making a difference. The two are not exclusive, mutually exclusive. They go together. Step number 4. Let's live in conviction. Turn to chapter 3. Let's live in conviction. You say, you just said compassion. See, here's what's happening in Christianity. Because we want to be compassionate, we think that we're going to help people by giving in on our convictions and compromising. It's in a lot of churches. Compromise helps nobody. Well, we'll have a bigger crowd if we do this and bring some garbage into the church. Listen, we're not doing that. How are you going to reach people if we're bringing stuff in that hurts? Okay? We need stuff that helps. Conviction. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, the king in chapter 2, he gets the dream about the image and the different world powers. Well, he decides he's going to be the only world power, so he builds his own image of gold. It just won him. And then he's going to make everybody worship it. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like, they ain't doing it. And so they don't worship him, and they bring him in before Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was the guy you don't want to mess with. He'd have you killed in a heartbeat. Look at how they answer him in verse 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they're being respectful, but listen, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I like that. You know what he's saying? He goes, listen, king, we're going to tell you the truth. We're not going to back off here. Okay? We're not going to be politicians. If it be so, they get thrown into the fire, our God in whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. He said, because Nebuchadnezzar said, there's no king that can save, God that can save you. He goes, listen, if our God wants to, he can save us. And he said, but look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They just laid it out there. Said, listen, we're not going to just say the politically correct thing, Nebuchadnezzar. Our God, whom you said could not deliver us, if he chooses to deliver us, he can deliver us out of the fire. And even if he doesn't, we're still delivered out of your hand because we'll be in heaven. But if not, if he chooses not to deliver us, we're not bowing down. Bang. That's right. That's conviction. Conviction is doing the right thing because it's the right thing all of the time. We just live in a convictionless society. Everything is up for grab, and it's situation ethics. What does the situation call for? If I do the truth here, it's going to hurt me. I can't do that. No, always do the truth. I know I believe this, but everybody doesn't need to know it, and I can kind of compromise a little bit. Where has that gotten us? We're a generation of Christians and pastors who thinks it's okay to drink and act like the world and act like a knucklehead. Where are we at with that? Okay? The Bible has a lot of good truth. And we're supposed to say, if that's what God said, that's what we're supposed to do. That's conviction. We think of anything, if you have a conviction, that's legalism. That's not legalism. You don't even know what the Bible says. Legalism is adding works to salvation, not living by what the Bible says. It kills me. These kids will come, well, that's just not my conviction. What have you studied? You studied some knucklehead on the radio that doesn't believe anything. Okay? Well, I heard them explain this away. Why don't you just look to the book? Okay? You can't argue with that. I remember many years ago, I was sitting in a church service. 25 years ago. And some guy said some obscure thing. And I'm like, I don't believe that. Like, it sounds good, but I don't think it's in the Bible. And then he said, turn over this verse. And he flipped over the verse and he read it. And I'm like, whoa, that's right there. I'm like, he's preaching. Let me read that one more time just to be safe. He's right. It's right there in black and white. I couldn't even go to the Greek to change it. Okay? So what do you do? Like, he's right. I'm in. What we do is we look at it and say, well, I don't really want to live that way. Okay? No, conviction. Let's just believe what God says. See, so for many of us, we believe in convenience, not conviction. We come to church if it's convenient. We don't come to church because I have a conviction that Christians should be in church. I give when I have a little extra money because it's a convenience. I don't tithe because it's not a conviction. You know, I read my Bible sometimes if the mood hits me, but I don't read it like I should every day because it should be a conviction. Convenience gets done when you feel like it. Conviction gets done because it's the right thing to do. And so let's move on. Step five, live in faith. Live in faith. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And verse 5. Now you know the story here. There's three presidents. There's the king's in charge, and he has the three presidents that kind of rule everything for him. And of the three, there's one in charge, and it's Daniel. Well, the other guys are jealous. So they're trying to knock Daniel down a peg in the king's eyes. So they're trying to find something to get at him. And they couldn't find anything. So look what they said. Verse number 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now think of that for a minute. They said, Daniel lives so righteously and so right, the only way we're going to trip him up is we have to find something he's doing that God says is right and make that wrong because we know he won't violate that. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have someone say that about you? So the only reason we're going to get this guy is it's something that he does that the Bible tells him to do. Verse 10. So they make a law. You can't pray to any god or anything. So Daniel hears about that. Now here's what he does. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what? That you couldn't pray to any god. You'll be thrown in the lion's den. He knew it was signed. He went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't say, "I'll just pray in my heart. They'll never know." He didn't say, "You know, for this time, I'll put the shades down in the window." He said, "I'm not changing anything." His faith was that real in his life. Now, people that don't know the Lord and they look at us, let me ask you a question. Do they judge you like that is a man? Now, they may not say this, but would they say if they understood it, that's a person of faith? Would they say that about you? Would they say, now, not that you're perfect, no one's perfect, but would they look at your life and how you try to live and say, that person's faith is real? I have found that many people, when they go to work, because that was his work, they leave their faith at home. You know, well, you know, what's work is work, and what's church is church. What's home is home. Should be everywhere. Okay? And I'm not saying you need to go to the lunchroom and jump up in front of everybody and say, "Hey, just to let you know, Mr. Christian's here." No, 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 no. Daniel didn't do that. They knew how he lived, though. See, our faith should touch every area of our life. Every area of our life. Let's make it this year that, you know what, even though Christianity is not as popular as it used to be, by the way, they're still not killing us or throwing us in jail. We can still live for Lord. We still live for Christ. Step 6, let's live in victory. Let's live in victory. I'll read a couple of verses. Daniel chapter 3. After the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stood up, Nebuchadnezzar says this. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He wouldn't say that 20 verses earlier. "Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God." Verse 22 of Daniel chapter 6. "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they experienced victory because they were willing to stand. Daniel experienced victory because he was willing to stand. God will work in our life if we allow him to. The problem is, do we really believe that God's way is the best? Do we really believe that if we stand up and live for God, and maybe we suffer some type of loss because of it, it's still worth it? These guys thought that. These guys were to the point like, listen, by the way, they all had positions. They all had positions. I remember years ago, the city of Long Beach was going to vote. President Bush had said that he was going to do the marriage thing. He never followed through with it, to make it that man and marriage is a man and woman. This is early, like 2004. And so the city of Long Beach was going to get together at the city council and vote a resolution saying that they disagree with that. Well, I knew Laura Richardson, who was the council lady in our area. She called me and told us, and said she wanted to meet with some of us, so we went to breakfast, and she told us about it. Now, here's what she said. She goes, now, I'm just telling you guys about this so that when it happens on Tuesday, you're not mad. You already know what's happening. And one of the other pastors in the meeting said, we're going. And she goes, what? She was getting nervous. And how many of you were there? We had like 400 Christians were there to show our support. But I don't like what Laura Richardson did. She basically got up because all the council members got to speak, and she was nervous because she saw our church and a bunch of our people, and she's in our area. And she said, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't necessarily vote by that. I'm like, oh, really? By the way, that's what the majority of Christians do. Well, I have this position, I'm a Christian, but when I'm in this position, I'm no longer a Christian. Really? When did that happen? Did you get teletransported? Okay, we're Christians all the time. Well, let's live in victory. Stand for what is right. Number 7. Told you we wouldn't be long. Point 10 lasts a really long time. Live in testimony. We could look at many, but in Daniel chapter 6, verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast over all, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now, Darius wasn't Jewish. Darius wasn't raised in the synagogue. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar said the same thing. Where did they get that from? They got that from Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's testimony. You know, what people know about God, unfortunately, comes from us, because they get a lot of disinformation from the world. I had to go, I told you I had my illness thing. I had to go, they made me go to I went to the cardiologist, you know. So I had to go there, and they did a stress test, and I'm in there on the treadmill, and so the doctor's in there, Mr. Heart Doctor, and he wants to talk to me. And as I'm running on the treadmill, he goes, so what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Oh, Jesus. He's like, okay, yeah. He goes, yeah, I saw this special on CNN about Jesus. I'm like, okay, here we go. And he's telling me all this garbage they're saying. He goes, yeah, I believe what CNN said. That's the truth more than anything else. I'm like, okay, that's wrong. Okay, well, he had me hooked up. I didn't want him to electrocute me, so I was quiet for a minute. But that's most people, their information about God comes from unreliable sources. One thing they can't argue with, a godly Christian's life. They can't argue with that. Okay, let's be right. Let's have a good testimony. Somebody has said that the best advertisement for Christianity is Christians. But they're also the worst. The choice is ours. Again, none of us are perfect, but they ought to look at us and say, there's somebody that really believes what they believe and they try to act on it. That's a living testimony. For most people, if they went to try to talk to someone about the Lord, they would be like Lot with his son-in-laws. Like, what are you mocking? You know nothing about God. Let's make sure we're just the best testimony we can be. Step 8, let's live in eternity. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14. Daniel's visions. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of God came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, he's talking about something that was not going to take place for a while. But he realized it. He realized the kingdom I'm living in right now is not God's kingdom, but there is coming a day. Amen. By the way, we call this, and I'm not going to beat it, we talk about it during stewardship, living with eternity in view. Everything we do, everything we live, ought to be in the light of eternity, not in the light of what's going on in this world or the temporal. Always live. Well, our home is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And ultimately, that is where we're going to be. It's funny how people will put up for their retirement, which when they retire, they get, what, 10 to 20 years of it? But yet we'll live in eternity for heaven forever, and we won't lay up anything there. Let's live with eternity in view. Step 9, let's live in confidence. Confidence. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11 is a chapter of prophecy of all these things that have happened, that were going to happen. A lot of them have already happened and coming. A lot of the kingdoms and kings and conflicts and all the drama. But look in verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that, at that time he was mentioning, do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In midst of all the drama, the people that really know God will be able to do great and right things. Confidence as a Christian comes from knowledge of God. If you're not confident in your Christian life, you need to get closer to God. You need to spend more time with Him. Confidence, look, at the closer we are to Him, the more we're going to trust Him, the more we're going to know He works in our life, and we're just way too, we lack confidence because, well, you know, is things really going to turn out like, yeah, it will turn out. You got to read the book and see the end. The last thing is this. Let's live in witnessing. Witnessing. Daniel chapter 12, 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You're saying, well wait a minute, wait a minute. Making a difference was 2017's theme. We're done with that. I mean, at midnight, it's over, right? Actually, ended 2 weeks ago. But we ought to always be making a difference. We ought to always be a witness. We ought to always take every opportunity we can to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Some of you this year need to get back on the stick. There's some of you used to come and used to be involved with it, and you wouldn't give a holy grunt. Okay? This world needs to know Jesus Christ. We cannot shove Him down their throat. But you know what? We can take opportunity, as God gives us opportunity, to share the love of God and what Jesus Christ can do. Now, what are you trying to say? I said a lot of different things. The point is this. We can live successfully in 2018 as a Christian. Amen. If we'll just follow some of these principles Daniel and his friends did. Let's pray.